The White House wants to create jobs, and one place it's focusing on this week is rural America.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama is in Iowa today. Republicans seeking his job have been in that state for months now, hammering the president on the issue of jobs. Well, today, Mr. Obama responds with an announcement of his own, a program that will double the money available for rural small businesses. Will it help? Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
The Obama administration says it'll commit $350 million to rural small businesses over the next 5 years. It'll try to connect small businesses with startup money and expand job search and training programs. On a conference call yesterday, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack said the initiative is needed because
the unemployment rate historically has been higher in rural areas than in urban and suburban areas.
Administration officials wouldn't say how many jobs they expect this effort to produce. And Lloyd Chapman, president of the American Small Business League, isn't holding his breath.
Quite frankly, I think it's sort of statistically insignificant. It might help a little bit, but it's just another publicity stunt.
Census data shows only 16% of Americans live in rural areas. Chapman knows what he'd do to spur job creation.
You need to funnel massive amounts of infrastructure spending to the middle class and small businesses.
But he says the bulk of those businesses are in urban and suburban areas. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Overseas in Germany today, well, that country reported second quarter GDP grew by just 0.1%. The news comes on the day German leader Angela Merkel meets with French President Nicolas Sarkozy. The two will no doubt talk about today's news and, of course, the European debt crisis. And one idea that's being tossed around to help the European economy is to allow Eurozone countries to borrow money collectively in the form of a euro bond. From London, reporter Christopher Worth explains what exactly that is.
As we're learning, governments tend to spend more than they take in. So in order to cover the extra spending, governments borrow money by issuing bonds. They're basically IOUs that say, don't worry, we'll pay you back. Banks in other countries are willing to take those IOUs with a little interest because they expect to be paid back. And that's why the European debt crisis is such a big problem. People who lent money to Greece, Ireland, and Portugal are worried those countries won't make good on their promises. So now Greece, Ireland, and Portugal have to pay more interest to convince lenders that the extra risk is worth it. Thus, the proposal for a Eurobond, issued by all 17 countries that use the euro as their currency. The idea is that more people would be willing to lend to a country like Greece if the loan is backstopped by a country like Germany.
Because Germany is guaranteeing those loans, and investors know that they should get their money back.
Jennifer McEwen is with Capital Economics. She says, in theory, the idea could go a long way in helping Europe deal with its debt problems.
However, I think most indications are that the German public just wouldn't accept it.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel is adamantly opposed to the idea because that would put German taxpayers directly on the hook for the debt of Greece and other struggling countries. But David Marsh, the author of the book The Euro, says Europe is at a crossroads. He says down one path is the unenviable idea of the Eurobond, which could drive up the borrowing cost for Germany, Europe's largest economy.
And down the other fork lies quite considerable chaos if the euro is forced to split up in coming years.
While Europe waits for Eurobonds, the European Central Bank is already stepping up to the plate. Last week, it bought over $30 billion in bonds from troubled countries, including Italy and Spain. That provided more demand for those bonds and, at least momentarily, reassured investors that those countries will pay back their IOUs. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are much lower right now, down an average of about 1.5%. Fewer builders started construction on homes last month in this country. The Commerce Department reported housing starts were down 1.5% in July. Walmart said today sales at U.S. stores open at least a year were down by nearly 1% in the second quarter. Wall Street yesterday, well, the Dow added 213 points to end the day at 11,482.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Google's $12.5 billion offer to buy Motorola's cell phone-making business is just one of a flurry of recent mergers and acquisitions. Remember the big announcement of AT&T buying rival T-Mobile? Well, that huge telecom buyout still needs government approval. From Washington, Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports now on whether the latest economic turmoil has changed the financial outlook of that deal.
AT&T has maxed out its cell phone capacity thanks to millions of new smartphone customers. To expand, it needs T-Mobile's wireless network and is willing to pay a hefty price for it. Telecom analyst Jeff Kagan says the stock market roller coaster hasn't changed that.
AT&T has to improve the quality of service for their iPhone customers, their Android customers, so that they don't keep on getting all the bad publicity and all the complaints. So this is a problem that AT&T faces, and AT&T has to do this deal one way or another.
AT&T is borrowing most of the money to buy T-Mobile. S&P equity research analyst Todd Rosenbluth says as long as interest rates stay low,
we still think AT&T will get favorable terms to borrow to support the deal.
Europe's debt problems are also feeding the financial incentives to merge. Tech expert Scott Cleland with Precursor LLC says T-Mobile's current owner, Germany's Deutsche Telekom, is desperate to sell.
They need all the capital they can muster in Germany because they are the lender of last resort for the whole EU, including the troubled Greece, Portugal, Spain, and Italy.
Cleland says between Deutsche Telekom's desperation for cash and AT&T's need for extra cell phone capacity, the two companies are willing to do just about anything the government asks to get regulatory approval for T-Mobile's sale. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
We have special coverage to explain the economic turmoil going on. It's called The Breakdown, Our Economy One Step at a Time. That's at marketplace.org. And of course, our coverage continues later today on Marketplace with Kai Ryssdal. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
9% unemployment, symptom of a diseased but treatable economy or the new thing?
I teach in a fairly affluent community, but there are still a lot of people who have lost work and are looking for work and have relocated for that, and often unsuccessfully.
I'm Kai Ryssdal. Is 9% forever? The story next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.